You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
Unexpectedly heartfelt ukulele performance there from Iceland.
It's Eurovision on 95BFM with our European correspondent, Cameron Adams.
On this week's installation of Eurovision, Anika chatted with our European correspondent, Cameron Adams, about Ukraine, EU's proposal on the Iran nuclear deal, free period products in Scotland, and more. Here's that chat now.
To start off with, could you give us an update about the war in Ukraine over this past week?
Concerns are growing over the state of the Zaporizhzhia nuclear power plant after shelling has been reported in the vicinity of the plant over the past week. Both Russia and Ukraine are trading blame, while 500 Russian soldiers are stationed at the plant. Ukrainian President Zelensky this week accused Russia of nuclear terrorism over its occupation of the plant. Last week, up to 13 Ukrainian civilians have died in Russian shelling kilometers away from the nuclear power plant. This is according to the head of Dnipropetrovsk State Administration. New Zealand Defence Forces will send an additional 120 military personnel to the UK to assist in its training of Ukrainian troops. There have been growing calls to block Russian citizens from getting tourist visas in the EU as a consequence for the Russian invasion of Ukraine. Estonia, Finland, Latvia, and the Czech Republic have called for an end or limitations to the Schengen visa for Russian citizens. However, consensus has not been agreed, with German Chancellor Olaf Scholz today being reported to be against the move. Another explosion has been reported today in the Russian-occupied region of Crimea after a Russian ammunition depot was destroyed. Ukraine is keeping coy on attacks in the region after an explosion was reported last week at a Russian airbase, resulting in several warplanes being destroyed.
Now, the EU has submitted its draft proposal on the Iranian nuclear deal, saying it's the final text. Could you tell us a bit more about what's in this proposal?
Well, we don't actually know too much. All of the parties involved are quite keen on keeping details quiet before an agreement is reached to avoid it becoming a fiery political football. So for the past 16 months, the EU has been acting as an intermediary between the US and Iran in reviving the 2015 nuclear deal, having several rounds of talks in Vienna. The EU's foreign policy chief, Josep Borrell, released a statement last week saying, quote, "What can be negotiated has been negotiated, and it's now in a final text." And that, quote, "Every technical issue in every paragraph lies a political decision that needs to be taken in the capitals." So in 2015, an agreement was signed between Iran, the US, other permanent UN Security Council members, the EU and Germany on curtailing Iran's nuclear ambitions in exchange for a lifting of sanctions and reintegrating Iran's economy with the West. It was quite a significant diplomatic achievement after years of negotiations, and there was the fear that if Iran was to develop nuclear weapons, it would spark a nuclear arms race in the region. However, in 2018, Donald Trump unilaterally broke the agreement and withdrew the US from the deal, claiming it was too soft, with Iran then being effectively shut out of the global economy. The EU at the time did try to develop workarounds to counter the US withdrawal. However, nothing significant was achieved. Iran then withdrew from the agreement and was reported to have resumed its nuclear program. So since Biden was elected, there's been hopes of a revival of the deal. Details on the revived proposal are light. However, some sticking points have been shared. Iran is reported to be concerned about the guarantees for the agreement past 2024, when there could be a new American president. There's the status of Iran's Revolutionary Guard. This is a branch of Iranian armed forces, which the US in 2019 designated as a terror organization, with Iran hoping to ease US pressure on the group. Lastly, there is a separate International Atomic Energy Agency investigation into Iran after nuclear proposals were detected at one of its sites, which Iran once dropped. However, the EU is keen to have this be outside the deal. In response to the proposal, Iran gave the EU an as yet unreleased reply to the draft text on Monday. The US has signaled that it wants to conclude the deal as quickly as possible. However, it has called on Iran to drop extraneous demands. Even if the first, quote, final text is rejected, the EU and Iran have expressed willingness to keep negotiations open. It will, however, be a significant challenge in both Iran and the US to get agreement for the deal, with hardliners in both countries being opposed to the agreement. Relations between the two countries have reached a new low in 2020 after Trump ordered the assassination of Iranian General Qassem Soleimani. And just last week, the US Department of Justice accused the Iranian Revolutionary Guard of being behind an assassination attempt of the former National Security Advisor John Bolton in relation for the killing. So yeah, I mean, even if an agreement is reached, it would take months to ratify.
Moving on to London, polio has been detected in the wastewater, leading to alarm from health authorities. Could you give us a few more details and outline what the response has been?
Yeah, so in London, an urgent polio vaccination campaign for children has been started after the virus has been detected in sewage, with up to 1 million children between 0 and 9 being eligible for a booster. So health authorities in the UK do regular wastewater analysis for monitoring of diseases, and they do detect the poliovirus about 3 times a year. However, from February to May of this year, several closely related strains of polio have been picked up in London. So there's 2 ways to immunize against polio. There's the inactivated polio vaccine, which is given as an injection in developed countries like New Zealand or the UK. Then there is the oral polio vaccine, which is where a live, weakened version of the virus is given orally. This produces a much better immune response and is easier to administer. However, it does have a 2 to 3 out of a million risk of paralysis, which is why some countries don't use it. Since the oral vaccine is a live version of the virus, it means the virus could spread to others who are unvaccinated. And there is the risk of those with weakened immune systems not recovering quickly enough, which could give time for the virus to mutate. In under-immunized communities, this could lead to what's called, quote, vaccine-derived poliovirus. So the polio samples that are usually picked up in wastewater are from when someone has received the oral vaccine in another country and is then briefly shedding it in the UK. However, now health authorities have found that there's an increase in polio samples detected and that it could be developing more dangerous features, with over 100 samples so far being picked up. Most polio infections go unnoticed. However, there's between a 1 in 100 and 1 in 1,000 risk of paralysis, which usually happens in children. Europe was declared a polio-free region in 2003. So while UK health authorities say the risk to the overall public is low, they're worried that polio could be spreading in parts of London which has lower vaccination rates. Most significantly, areas which have a lower uptake of the polio booster given at age 3. Because of this, and because the inactive polio vaccine gives lower antibody levels, the UK health authorities are now offering an additional booster. So it's expected that GPs will reach out in the next month with vaccination campaigns starting in these affected areas.
Now, we've seen a mysterious mass fish die-off occurring in the Oder River between Germany and Poland that has puzzled authorities. Do we know what happened yet?
Not yet. Mystery surrounds the mass die-off of fish in the Oder River after several tons of fish have been found dead since late July. So the Oder River runs from the Czech Republic up through Poland and the German-Polish border before it ends in the Baltic Sea, and it's Poland's second largest river. In late July, thousands of dead fish were reported by fishermen on the river, sparking warnings of an environmental disaster. Heavy criticism has been levied against Polish authorities' inaction, with Polish Prime Minister Mateusz Morawiecki on Friday stating, quote, "Everyone had initially thought it was a local problem." The head of Poland's state-owned water management company was sacked on Friday. Scientists are still unsure what's caused the die-off. There's the assumption that chemicals were deliberately dumped into the river. However, nothing substantial has been revealed. There are fears that if it's a substance like mercury or another heavy metal, it could have a decades-long effect on the river's ecosystem. Poland is offering a reward of over 200,000 euros for any information on a chemical spill, which has so far been unclaimed. High water temperatures and low water levels could also be a culprit. As I mentioned last week, Europe's summer of drought has been affecting several large river systems across Europe. German authorities are also unimpressed with Poland's response, having only formally been notified last Thursday. Germany's Environment Minister Steffi Lemke has called for a comprehensive probe of the incident. Over 20 tons of fish have since been recovered, with over 2,000 Polish police officers reported to be helping with the cleanup, and fishing in the river is banned until October while investigations continue.
And finally, we have some good news from Scotland, who have just brought in legislation making period products free. Could you tell us a bit more?
Yeah, very good news. So Scotland has become the first country in the world to make period products free for all in its campaign to end period poverty. So from this week, menstrual products will be free in public places like community centres, schools and pharmacies, which will be in line with legislation initially passed at the end of 2020.
That was Anika speaking with our European correspondent Cameron Adams on this week's installation of Eurovision.
Macedonia with a reggae twist.
That was Eurovision on 95 BFM.
That was a 95 BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95bfm.com/bcasts.